And now, Stein Online presents Mark Stein's Song of the Week.
Hey, great to be with you. This week we're wishing a happy 90th birthday to the composer of two of the biggest Broadway hits of the 1950s, Damn Yankees.
Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets.
He's called Hernando's Hideaway. Olé.
And The Pajama Game. Richard Adler was born in New York on August 3rd, 1921, and he's done a lot of other things in the course of these 9 decades, a couple of which we'll touch on, but we're going to focus on a song apiece from those big shows he wrote with Jerry Ross. And we'll hear 2 exclusive live performances from the Stein Archive. First, I'll prompt Richard Adler himself to recreate the big ballad from The Pajama Game, and then I'll be joined by Liza Minnelli, Gwen Verdon, Natalia Makarova, and a host of top Broadway talent, Kander and Ebb, Comden and Green, Julie Stein, Sheldon Harnick, and more, for a rousing all-star performance of the big showstopper from Damn Yankees. Before he made it to Broadway, Richard Adler tried his hand at pop songs. It was 1950. Goodnight Irene was the biggest hit around, so Adler and a fellow called John Jacob Loeb wrote a very, 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 very small hit in response. Please say goodnight to the guy, Irene, and let me get some sleep. Adler and Ross got to know Eddie Fisher, big balladeer. This was before he married Debbie Reynolds, Elizabeth Taylor, Connie Stevens, and before he sired Princess Leia and Ellen DeGeneres' best pal on the sitcom Ellen. Eddie Fisher told Richard Adler about his tough Philadelphia boyhood and the grinding poverty, until one night he got a chance to perform before Eddie Cantor. It was an inspiring tale of rags to riches. And that gave Adler an idea, and he and Jerry Ross worked up a pseudo-Neapolitan ballad with a semi-autobiographical lyric. Just perfect for Eddie Fisher. Eddie Fisher turned it down. So they took it to Mitch Miller at Columbia Records, who gave it to Tony Bennett. And Richard Adler had his first number one record.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire.
Half a century later, Tony Bennett remade his number one hit with Elton John.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pockets may be empty, I'd be a millionaire just like Elton.
My clothes may still be torn and tattered, but in my heart I'd still be king. Your love is all that ever matters. It's everything.
And you know who else loved this song? Elvis.
Must I forever
Richard Adler had another big pop hit with a title handed to him by his divorce lawyer. At the time, he was pursuing the great Sally Ann Howes, who played Truly Scrumptious in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I once had a rather wild and Wacky Night on the Town in Wilmington, Delaware, with Sally Ann, Liz Robertson, and Rudolf Nureyev. How's that for a double date? Actually, it was a fivesome, because one of the crazier DuPonts crashed the scene late in the evening. Anyway, that's a story for another day. It's 1958. Richard Adler's marriage is in trouble, and he's head over heels for Sally Ann, and he's worried that the publicity might damage them. "Relax," says his lawyer, reminding him of Shakespeare's line, "Everybody loves a lover." Everybody loves a lover. Hey, maybe there's a song in that.
Everybody loves a lover. I'm a lover. Everybody loves me. Anyhow, that's how I feel. Wow, I feel just like a Pollyanna. I should worry, not for nothing. Everybody loves me, yes they do. And I love everybody since I fell in love with you. Who's the most popular personality? I can't help thinking it's no one else but me. Gee, I feel just about 10 feet tall. Having a ball, guess you might call me Pollyanna. Everybody loves a lover.
That was a big hit for Doris Day. It's a novelty song, that bouncy, bouncy sound of America in the 50s. But it transcended the era.
Everybody loves a lover. Everybody loves me now. Yes, they do. And I love everybody since I fell in love, love with you, in love with you.
Everybody loves, everybody loves a lover. Cliff Bennett and the Rebel Rousers and Peaches and Her.
Who's the most popular personality? It's me. I can't help thinking it's no one else but me.
You're right.
Gee, I feel just about 10 feet tall. Having a ball, guess you might call me a Pollyanna.
And if you find it infuriatingly catchy in English, try it in Czech.
Pani kluci, však je znáte, rádi spletou páté přes deváté, velké plány potají, spřádají, v nichž vy se nevyznáte.
When all said and done, though, what everybody loves about Everybody Loves a Lover is when Doris Day puts the two halves of the song together and duets with herself.
Who's the most popular person?
Loves a lover.
I can't help thinking it's no one else.
Everybody loves me.
Gee, I feel just about 10 feet tall.
I feel
having a ball.
I feel
well, I feel just like Polly.
Everybody Loves a Lover was written with Robert Allen, the composer of There's No Place Like Home for the Holidays. The most important professional relationship of Richard Adler's life began outside the Brill Building, the home of the New York music business, in the summer of 1950. A hot day, and there's a bunch of songwriters standing around on the sidewalk. And as a struggling guy in the pop biz, Adler knows them all, except one. So he asks Al Hoffman who the guy is. Hoffman had a big hit that season with If I Knew You Were Coming, I'd Have Baked a Cake. And he says, oh, that's Jerry Ross. Want to meet him? Adler writes music and lyrics, Ross writes music and lyrics, but everybody loves a lover, professionally speaking, an exclusive partnership, a marriage, someone whose instincts you trust, who bounces ideas off you, who makes your stuff better. The first song Adler and Ross wrote together was a novelty number, Steam Heat. They were taken on by Frank Lesser, the composer of Guys and Dolls, and, in his capacity as music publisher, a great mentor to young writers. Lesser arranged for them to audition for the legendary George Abbott, writer, producer, director of Pal Joey, On the Town, Call Me Madam. Mr. Abbott listened to the songs and said, keep working. You're good, but you're not ready for Broadway. A year later, they auditioned for him again. Better, he said. You're still not ready, but you're getting there. Another year went by, and Adler and Ross turned up for their annual audition. Mr. Abbott listened to their songs, and this time he said, good. I think you're ready. There was a new musical he was writing and directing, and he figured they'd be just right for the score. As Richard Adler himself explained to me a few years back.
He said, come up to the office and pick up a book called 7½ Cents. Read it and call me and tell me what you think.
The pajama game is the game we're in.
It could have been the Scott Tissue Gazette, and we would have jumped for it.
As you got Mr. Abbott's book, did you find that the places for songs and the suggestions for songs all came about fairly easily?
If they didn't, out of the book, he would come with it, like with... he came to us with... he said, give me a production song about a sleazy, smoke-filled, ratty-type, people-filled nightclub. Out of that came Hernando's Hideaway.
I know a dark, secluded place, a place where no one knows your face. A glass of wine, a fast embrace, it's called Hernando's Hideaway, ole. All you see are silhouettes, and all you hear are castanets. And no one cares how late it gets, not at Hernando's Hideaway, ole. At the Golden Finger Bowl or any place you go, you will meet your Uncle Max and everyone you know. But if you go to the spot that I am thinking of, you will be free to gaze at me and talk of love. Just knock 3 times and whisper low that you and I were sent by Joe. Then strike a match and you will know you're in Hernando's Hideaway, ole.
The Pajama Game was a big hit, and so were its songs. Hernando's Hideaway was written as a parody tango for a spoof nightclub, but it was such a hit and record that all over the world real Latin nightclubs started calling themselves Hernando's Hideaway. The plot is about a looming strike in a pajama factory, and I always loved the way George Abbott and Richard Bissell's libretto opened the proceedings. Quote, this is a very serious drama. It's kind of a problem play. It's about capital and labor. I wouldn't bother to make such a point of all this, except later on, if you happen to see a lot of naked women being chased through the woods, I don't want you to get the wrong impression. This play is full of symbolism. Wham! And into the show. Full of symbolism and full of songs. The love story was indeed symbolic. Sid, the factory superintendent, falls in love with Babe from the Union Grievance Committee. Boy meets girl, capital meets labor. Mr. Abbott suggested to Adler and Ross that Sid's big romantic solo could maybe be sung into a dictaphone. They liked the idea and wrote a musical letter called Dear Babe. It was a disaster, a stinkeroo. So they went back to the drawing board, and this time they got it right.
Hey there, you with the stars in your eyes. Love never made a fool of you. You used to be too wise.
John Raitt, hey, Sid the factory manager. John Raitt was the father of Bonnie Raitt, but he wasn't quite the guy for vernacular singing. And Richard Adler still feels he was a bit stiff and formal in his rendition of his big song. Happily, Hey There was picked up by Rosemary Clooney, who brought out all the song's ruefulness.
Lately when I'm in my room all by myself, in the solitary gloom, I call to myself. Hey there, you with the stars in your eyes. Love never made a fool of you. You used to be too wise. Hey there, you on that high-flying cloud. Though he won't throw a crumb to you, you think someday he'll come to you. Better forget him, him with his nose in the air. He has you dancing on a string. Break it and he won't care. Won't you take this advice I hand you like a mother? Or are you not seeing things too clear? Are you too much in love to hear? Is it all going in one ear and out the other?
Are you too much in love to hear? That was the one line George Abbott objected to. It embarrasses me, he told Adler and Ross. Write something else. So they changed it to, Are you just too far gone to hear? But after the show opened, they put their original line back in the sheet music for the pop versions, and that's what Rosie sang there. That was a number one record in 1954. This was the second most successful version, picking up the tempo and bringing out the melody's lovely flowing quality. Sammy Davis Jr.
Hey there, you with the stars in your eyes. Love never made a fool of you. You used to be too wise. Hey there, you on that high-flying cloud. Though she won't throw a crumb to you, you think someday she'll come to you. Better forget her, her with her nose in the air. She has you dancing on a string. Break it and she won't care. Won't you take this advice I hand you like a brother? Or are you not seeing things too clear? Are you too much in love to hear? Is it all going in one ear and out the other?
How about a Sinatra recording? No, Frank passed. Meeting Richard Adler in Hollywood 2 years later, he said, So you're Adler? I'm Sinatra, the schmuck who turned down Hey There. So here are the only three words of Adler and Ross ever sung by Frank Sinatra, clowning around on stage with Dino as they attempt to sabotage Sammy Davis's solo.
Come to you, you think someday she will come to you.
Better forget her. Good, Sam. What else do you want to say?
break it and she won't care. Won't you take this advice? I had you like a brother.
A mother, your mother.
Gee, said half a word, didn't he, dear?
Now, I mentioned that Hey There was written as a love ballad to be sung into a dictaphone by Sid, the factory boss. For the second chorus, he hits playback and does a kind of obbligato with himself.
Hey there, you with the stars in your eyes.
You talking to me?
Love never made a fool of you.
Not until now.
You used to be too wise.
Yeah, I was. Once.
Hey there.
I hear
you. You on the high flying cloud. Though she won't throw a crumb to you.
Don't rub it in.
You think someday she'll come to you. Better forget her.
Forget her.
It was a neat theatrical trick on stage, though it went horribly wrong on the first night of the out-of-town tryout in Boston. Somehow the tape went crazy and played back a third of a tone higher than what John Raitt was singing and the orchestra was playing. The Dean of Massachusetts Critics, Elliot Norton of the Boston Post, didn't notice and pronounced the rendition lovely. Rosemary Clooney's record keeps the dictaphone idea as a kind of interior monologue.
Hey there, you with the stars in your eyes.
Are you talking to me?
Love never made a fool of you.
Not until now.
You used to be too wise.
Yes, I was once.
Will you take this advice? I hand you like a mother. Or am I not seeing things too clear? Are you just too far gone to hear? Is it all going in one ear and out the other?
Rosemary Clooney duetting with Rosemary Clooney. When I interviewed Richard Adler on TV in the 90s, I thought it would be fun to recreate that dictaphone duet with what was then state-of-the-art technology, a portable cassette recorder, a Sony Walkman. Here's how we set it up.
And I gather that while you were working on Pajama Game, Mr. Abbott came up to you and said he thought it'd be a neat idea to have a song that was done into a dictaphone.
He did. You know, but I don't have time to go into all that. Memo to Richard Adler. Hey there, you with the stars in your eyes. Love never made a fool of you. You used to be too wise. Hey there, you on that high-flying cloud. Though she won't throw a crumb to you, you think someday she'll come to you. Hey there.
Who, me?
You with the stars in your eyes.
Are you talking to me?
Love never made a fool of you.
Of course not.
You used to be too wise.
You got that right.
Hey there.
I hear
you. You on that high-flying cloud.
That's me.
Though she won't throw a crumb to you.
Why should she?
You think someday she'll come to you. Now you'd better forget her.
Forget her.
Her with her nose in the air.
Her with her nose in the air.
She has you dancing on a string.
A puppet on a string.
Break it and she won't care.
She won't care for me.
Won't you take this advice? I hand you like a brother.
Or are you not seeing things too clear?
Are you just too far gone to hear?
Is it all going in one ear and out the other?
Richard Adler, duetting with himself, thanks to the amazing technology of a Sony Walkman cassette machine. I wonder what we'd use if we were doing it today. Probably an iPod. Oh, and you'll notice that Richard Adler is still so respectful of George Abbott that he didn't use the "Are you too much in love to hear" line, but instead the Abbott demanded substitute. Are you just too far gone to hear? The Pajama Game opened on Broadway in May 1954. 1 year later, May 1955, Adler and Ross were back on Broadway for their second first night, a baseball musical with a Faustian plot and with a brand new star, Gwen Verdon, in Damn Yankees.
Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets, and little man, little Lola wants you. Make up your mind to have no regrets. Recline yourself, resign yourself, you're through.
Broadway's greatest dance star on the female side. You'd have to go with Fred Astaire on the male side. But that's Gwen Verdon. Before Chicago, before Sweet Charity, whatever Lola wants, Lola gets from Damn Yankees. We'll hear more from Gwen a little later. Damn Yankees makes no pretense to be anything other than pure entertainment, musical comedy. And it has one of the greatest musical comedy song cues of any show.
Now listen to me, you guys. This game of baseball is only one half skill. The other half is something else, something bigger. You gotta have heart. All you really need is heart. When the odds are saying you'll never win, that's when the grin should start. You gotta have hope. Mustn't sit around and hope. Nothing's half as bad as it may appear. Wait till next year and hope. When your luck is batting zero, get your chin up off the floor. Mister, you can be a hero. You can open any door. There's nothing to it but to do it. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles and miles of heart. Oh, it's fine to be a genius, of course, but keep that old horse before the cart. First, you gotta have heart.
On the first night of Damn Yankees tryout in New Haven, that song stopped the show, and Richard Adler thought they were home and dry. A hit, a solid hit. And then slowly, gradually, everything unraveled, and the show died, really died. The audience trudged up the aisle at the end of Act Two, glad to get out and go home. Mr. Abbott called Adler and Ross and the rest of the team to a meeting and set about fixing the thing. Here's Julie Stein, the composer of Gypsy and Funny Girl, recalling to me the mood at that post-mortem, at least as he heard it.
Adler and Ross and George Abbott. It is after an opening of an Adler and Ross show, and it is a bomb. And they're all sitting around, and he said, this song has got to go, that song has got to go, and that song has got to go. Richard Adler walked up and said, Mr. Abbott, I'm going to send for my lawyer. He says, don't send for your lawyer unless he can write songs.
Well, I think the beginning and end of Richard Adler's lawyer's musical inspiration was that title, Everybody Loves a Lover. So he didn't call his lawyer. Instead, they worked hard. They wrote and rewrote and re-rewrote. There was no magical moment when it all fell into place. Just sweat, toil, dogged craftsmanship. And by the time they opened on Broadway, I don't know whether they had heart or hope, but they had a hit.
A great slugger we haven't got. A great pitcher we haven't got. A great ball club we haven't got. What do we got?
Oh, you they're getting the idea.
We've got hope. We don't sit around and mope. Not a solitary sob do we heave, mister, cause we've got hope.
Boys, I'm proud of you.
That's such a great Broadway showstopper, but kind of hard to turn into a standard song outside the show. Here's one of my favorite pop versions from Peggy Lee and her great album Latin Ala Lee. What's fun about this record is her backing boys, who get to sing just one word, Corazón, which is, of course, Portuguese for heart.
Corazón. Corazón.
You gotta have heart. When the grin should start, you gotta have hope.
Corazón.
Mustn't sit around and mope.
Corazón.
Nothing's half as bad as it may appear. Wait till next year and hope. When your luck is batting zero, get your chin above the floor. Mister, you can be a hero. You can't open any door, there's nothing to it but to do it. You gotta have heart.
Corazón.
Miles and miles and miles of heart.
Corazón.
Oh, it's fine to be a genius, of course, but keep that old horse before the cart. First, you gotta have heart.
Corazón. Corazón.
And at the other end of the spectrum from Peggy Lee, here's the great Alan Sherman, the Hello Mother, Hello Father guy. Whenever I'm asked for advice on parody songwriting, I often cite this example, because the trick is not to go too far away from the original. In this case, you take the original, you stick to the shape, the rhyme scheme, the spirit. All you do is make one slight change from one monosyllabic corporeal feature to another.
You gotta have skin. All you really need is skin. Skin's the thing that if you got it outside, it helps keep your insides in. It covers your nose, and it's wrapped around your toes. And inside it you put lemon meringue, and outside you hang your clothes. Skin is what you feel at home in, and without it furthermore, both your liver and abdomen would keep falling on the floor, and you'd be dressed in your intestine.
And you'd be dressed in your intestine. Alan Sherman. You Gotta Have Heart is one of those rare Broadway showstoppers, a genuine showstopper, a song that makes everyone happy, everyone glad they swung by the theater that night, and a song you can bring back for reprise after reprise.
Here comes Gloria Thorpe. Tell it to her.
Go ahead, Rocky, you start.
Yeah, go ahead.
We've got heart. All you really need is heart. When the odds are saying you'll never win, that's when the grin should start.
Indeed. I saw my little boy sing it at a school concert the other week. Still works. And on a big stage with a full band, the crowd's cheering it even during the overture. Adler and Ross had gone, like their song says, from rags to riches, all in 18 months. And then? Well, Jerry Ross had heart, but he also had an abnormal dilation of the bronchial tubes, bronchiectasis. Richard Adler had noticed when they began writing together that he coughed a lot and examined the contents of his handkerchief. He was looking for blood. He was terrified of hemorrhaging and drowning in his own blood. His health wobbled during the rehearsals for Damn Yankees, and he was unable to be in London for the West End opening of the Pajama Game. On November the 10th, 1955, Richard Adler sat with Jerry Ross and his wife in his hospital room in New York. He looked better than he often did. They talked about what they'd done so much in such a short time, and what they were going to do in the years ahead. And then Richard Adler got on a plane to fly to St. Louis to rehearse the touring company of Pajama Game. The following day, in mid-rehearsal, he got a call from the producer, Hal Prince. "You'd better get the next plane to New York," he said. "Jerry's dead." The thing he'd always feared had happened. The bronchus had blown. He was 29. Hal Prince met Richard Adler at the airport, and in the car downtown unfolded a newspaper. "I figured it was better if you saw this from me," he said. It was a copy of the New York Post with an obituary of Jerry Ross, but the picture accompanying it was of Richard Adler. Even in that moment, he recalled, the symbolism didn't escape him. Some writers can write with anyone, Johnny Mercer, for example. Some writers try. After George Gershwin's death, Ira Gershwin wrote with Jerome Kern, Kurt Vile, Harold Arlen. But it wasn't the same. It didn't have that instinctive connection. Ira knew he'd lost not only a brother, but the perfect partner. And so it was for Richard Adler. The Pajama Game won the Tony Award for Best Musical. A year later, so did Damn Yankees. No writing team has ever done that, before or since. Jerry Ross was there for the first ceremony and dead by the second, a year later. And Richard Adler's 18 months as the toast of Broadway were over and would never come again. He did other things. He kept busy. He produced. He wrote concert music and ballets and a long-running cigarette commercial. And he became an impresario of all-star presidential galas. It was Richard Adler who, for a birthday tribute to President Kennedy, called up Marilyn Monroe and invited her to Madison Square Garden to sing this.
"Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr. President. Happy birthday to you."
Richard Adler, co-composer, lyricist of The Pajama Game and Damn Yankees, and the man who introduced Marilyn Monroe to both Jack Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy. He has spent over half a century as the surviving half of Adler and Ross. And I suppose for this 90th birthday, I could lean into the microphone and breathily purr, "Happy birthday, Mr. Adler." But I prefer a different kind of finish. Adler and Ross were only two of many young Broadway talents given their first break by George Abbott. On TV in the 90s, I reunited various alumni of the Abbott Academy for a salute to Mr. Abbott. Hal Prince, the producer of Pajama Game, was there, and Gwen Verdon, the star of Damn Yankees. What to do for a finale for the show? Well, we brought together everyone for an all-star performance of Adler and Ross's biggest showstopper. Singing in order here, if you're keeping check, are Joy Abbott, George Abbott's wife and a fine singer in her own right, Julie Stein, the composer of Gypsy, Funny Girl, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Donald Sadler, the choreographer of Wonderful Town, John Kander and Fred Ebb, writers of New York, New York and Chicago, their pal Liza Minnelli, star of Cabaret, Sheldon Harnick, the lyricist of Fiddler on the Roof and his wife Marjorie, Natalia Makarova, the great Russian ballerina and star of the Broadway revival of On Your Toes, Betty Comden and Adolf Green, the writers of Singin' in the Rain and On the Town, Russell Knipe, the star of Call Me Madam, Cy Feuer, the producer of Guys and Dolls, Gwen Verdon, the star of Chicago and Sweet Charity. Who's next? Oh yes, me. And then Le Tout Ensemble, with the cast of the 1990s Broadway revival of Damn Yankees, the one with B.B. Newworth in Gwen's role, providing some serious lung power, and the 106-year-old Mr. Abbott and Richard Adler himself lustily joining in. Oh, and remember that famous song cue we heard earlier? This time round, we modified it. Here's the producer of West Side Story, the director of Phantom of the Opera, Hal Prince.
"Listen, this business of musicals is only one half skill. The other half is something else. You gotta have heart.
All you really need is heart.
when the grinch should start.
You gotta have hope.
Mustn't sit around and mope.
Nothing's half as bad as it may appear.
Wait till next year and hope.
When your luck is bad as zero,
get your chin up off the floor.
Mister, you can be a hero. You can open any door.
There's nothing to it but to do it.
You gotta have heart.
Miles and miles and miles of heart. Oh, it's fine to be a genius, of course.
But keep that old horse before the cart.
Who minds those cart bottles flying? The hisses and boos. The team has been consistent.
Yeah, we always lose, but we're laughing 'cause
Richard Adler with George Abbott, Joy Abbott, Hal Prince, Julie Stein, Donald Sadler, Kander and Ebb, Liza Minnelli, Sheldon and Marjorie Harnick, Natalia Makarova, Comden and Green, Russell Knipe, Cy Feuer, Gwen Verdon, and me. An all-star performance. Well, except for me. Most of that company is gone now, I'm sad to say. Mr. Abbott, Julie Stein, Fred Ebb, Comden and Green, Cy Feuer, Gwen Verdon. I believe that was the last time Gwen sang in public, but we all had a grand time doing it. You gotta have heart, all you really need is heart. A happy 90th birthday to Richard Adler, and we'll see you next week.
Mark Stein's Song of the Week is a production of Mark Stein Enterprises. All rights reserved.